time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. This week, I'm super excited that I got to chat with Alani Rodriguez. Alani is the festival and conference programmer for South by Southwest Music Initiatives, where she helps to bring light to everything from artist demo listening sessions to live music to mentor meetups and so much more. It's clear she loves what she does, and what stood out to me the most is how she sees the music industry as more than just a business. For Alani, it's about curating unforgettable experiences, creating memories that fans and artists can carry along with them after the show ends, and so much more. After the episode, be sure to check out Alani's curated music playlist, which you can find in the episode show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.
My name's Alani Rodriguez. I am from Laredo, Texas, but I currently reside in Austin, Texas. I've been here for about 8 years now, and I'm currently the music conference programmer for South by Southwest.
So cool. I mean, off the bat, I just have to say, feel like you have my dream job. So I'm very jealous. And I think it's really, I'm already impressed by you. So I'm really excited to learn more about you. But yeah, can we kind of start back to like what your relationship with music was like growing up?
Yeah, for sure. I grew up surrounded by just my dad's admiration for rock music. And I think when I was younger, I could not stand to listen to it. I was just like, you know, you're a kid, you want to listen to like Disney or something. And on, you know, a few years later, like going into high school is when I kind of started to, you know, flip on that thought process. And also in middle school too, is I think I started to get really enamored with music culture and, you know, just celebrity, you know, loved One Direction, that whole vibe. And so, yeah, I just became more in love with music. And in high school is when I started to take it more seriously and understand that, you know, I'm from a small city in Texas, you know, music industry jobs are something you see on the TV in a big boardroom kind of setting. It's nothing that's realistic, quote unquote. And so when I was going into junior year, senior year, our parents would take us to Austin City Limits Music Festival. And I remember just being like, what is going on behind the stage? Like, what is happening? I cared more about that than the performance to a certain extent. And that's when I was like, okay, I think I want to move forward on explaining what this looks like. And so when I was a senior or going to my senior year of high school, I had the opportunity to go to New York for 2 weeks to attend the school of the New York Times. I think I was the second cohort they ever had. And they had a course called Pop Music as an Art and Business, taught by Ben Cesario, who to this day is still the music business reporter at the Times. And so I was like, I'm a writer. I've been a writer, since I was as early as I can remember, but in high school, I was like a competitive writer. I did writing competitions, things like that. So I was like, okay, music, writing, these are both of my interests. Like, let's see what happens. And so sure enough, I went and it was the best thing I could have done for myself at that point. It's not something I expected to do, but he brought in a bunch of guest speakers and I realized like, oh, like this is a real thing. And it's not just what I've seen in like, you know, the media or whatever. It goes beyond that. Like there's music festival bookers and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, okay, I think this is what I want to explore. And so after that kind of like revelation, it was obviously time for me to pick between colleges. And it was like, do I go to New York and attend NYU? Do I stay at in Texas and go to the University of Texas? Like, I didn't know what to do, but something was telling me to stay here. And so I did. And I kind of just started getting a footing in music industry. And before the first day of college could even start, I got a job on campus at the music venue called Bath Concert Hall. And I think kind of just soared from there and spiraled into a bunch of different things that, you know, we can get into in a second. But that is literally how my career started.
Wow. So it kind of started before it even started, if that makes sense.
Literally.
Yeah, that's really amazing and so interesting. I always love to hear like things outside of sort of the New York, LA like bubble. You had a bit of like a holistic experience with it, but you stuck to your intuition with it. Mm-hmm. So what happened next, like after, or like what was your experience like in college with like studying music and what else? Yeah.
So because I had that writing background, I honestly didn't know what I wanted to study. And I think a lot of people going into college are like, that's the one thing they freak out about. And they don't know what, A, people change their major 1,000 times. B, depending on what you go into, it kind of doesn't matter. That's something I learned way later. But, you know, growing up, my dad's a lawyer. So everybody's like, oh, you're going to be a lawyer like your dad, blah, blah, blah. And I would just like agree with them just because like, oh, yeah, sure. But never related to it. So for some reason, I decided, let me just do journalism. And so it kind of came just from that writing background again. And so I majored in journalism and I was taking those classes and I kind of just like used it as a hack to meet as many music people as I can. Mm-hmm. I was just doing a guest lecture at UT today, but I was telling the students like, you can ask my professor. To this day, they will tell you any chance you got to write about music like she did, because I was like, well, this is kind of my hack to networking. And, you know, when you're at UT, it's very easy just to stay in the 40-acre entrapment that they have you in and not explore Austin. And so being a journalism major, you are forced to go out and to talk to people. And so I was like, well, if I have to do this, like, I'm going to do what I want. And so I just started to meet people and attend everything I possibly could. Truly, I think I used Austin as like my playground. It was kind of like my second school. I did what I needed to do for class, but then I was at events all the time. I was volunteering for the Recording Academy, which eventually led to me working for them, and it trickled on from there. So yeah, I think my first part-time job after my Bass Concert Hall job, because I had to end that position when the pandemic happened, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I immediately got a job with the Recording Academy as their Texas chapter Grammy representative and also working with the national team on national projects. And I think that job truly just gave me so much insight, gave me so much hands-on experience. And to this day, like I credit a lot of what I've learned to the Recording Academy and the amazing teams I've been able to work with. Wow. And to this day, like I'm still very involved with them and I'm professional member now, so it's kind of all come full circle. But
yeah,
I started working there, and then I also got just jobs here and there. Like I was working for Score More Shows when I was in college as the market lead for Austin for our club shows and the music festival. So they're like a promoter under Live Nation. And I did the UT Los Angeles summer program. So I got to intern for two different companies. One was Orienteer, which is owned by Nick Darrow, who is Tyler, the Creator's publicist. And so I got to be his intern the summer that Call Me If You Get Lost came out. And that was such a great experience. Yeah. And then I interned for Pulse Music Group in their A&R department. So I had two very different internships, but I think my goal in that was just figuring what I liked and what I didn't like, because I still wasn't sure what exactly I wanted to do. But something in me just needed to try everything. And I really think that served a lot of benefit to me looking at where I'm at now, my job now, and having to understand every single little intricacy of the music industry. Like that's entire job that I operate in every single day. So yeah, there's other internships here and there that I work too, but I would say those are like the most standout ones.
Yeah. Wow. That's also, yeah, I can kind of see the foreshadowing already of like working with South By, because it's a little bit of everything. And like, and it sounds like I can see how you would work in events and programming. It sounds like you are good at keeping really busy and like thrive off of that. So it's always interesting to hear like the early stages. Yeah. So I guess with Austin, like, can you talk a little bit about what, I know you worked like in the venue with your school, but like, what was your kind of perception of the music scene in Austin in general?
Yeah. I mean, Austin is the live music capital of the world. And I would always hear that, but you'd never really understand it until you're here. But I mean, it's so true. But I think for me, especially when I was early on, just going to different events and just showing up or volunteering or whatever the case was, like I worked for free, like for a very long time. I didn't mind that because like the music industry in Austin, it's small. I mean, the music industry in general is small, but in Austin, it's even smaller. You know, we're not LA, we're not New York, we're not necessarily Nashville, but it's a very tight knit and close community, but we operate at a very large scale. I mean, we have C3 Presents headquartered out of here. They do ACL, Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, amongst many others. Then we have South by Southwest, and then we have Score More of the Space out of here too, which is another subsidiary of Live Nation. So like we have a big presence and everybody kind of knows everyone. And I think at the beginning, especially when I was working at Score More, like they were very supportive of me and understanding that I was a student, but also being like, we need to give her opportunities and give her a lot of responsibility. And they trusted me with that. And so looking at it now, it's like, I don't know, I'm really grateful that they had that sense of community and just support that they were willing to give me, because they know it's not easy doing it in Austin, but there is a will and there's a way. And so I think that's my biggest takeaway. It's like everybody's willing to support each other in some capacity. And there's a lot of on-site opportunities here too. Like a lot of people work on-site at South By, a lot of people work on-site at Austin City Limits. Like there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. And I can see what you mean about the community feel of it. I attended South By 2 years ago, and I still think about it almost every day. How like it was one of my favorite experiences like in my life. Like I just was so blown away by how much was going on and how much like you could learn in one day. I mean,
it's the most unique event. I'm not even saying this because I worked there. Like I could say this from even when I was programming events during South By when I was with the Academy. Like there's nothing like it. It's like the spring break for the entertainment world, for the world. Like, you know, I was telling students earlier today too, like, I don't care if you have a badge or not. You guys are 10 minutes down the street from downtown. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no excuse for you guys not to go into some barbecue restaurant and like, and squint your eyes to see what everybody's badge says. Like, those people are here. And that's a very rare opportunity to have everybody from the industry here in town for 6-7 days, whatever the case is. There's nothing like it. And the sense of community, and everybody's just like let loose in a sort of way. They're all excited to meet new people, to discover something new. And beyond the music stuff, I mean, we have innovation content that runs through like tech and health and all these other different, you know, topics. We have our film festival and our film conference exploded over the last few years. And I always tell people, like, the industry you're in, that's great, but you need to learn other stuff too. And like, go to these tech, you know, sessions, go to these other sessions, because there's going to be some connection to what you're doing and you don't realize it. And it could be the next thing that breaks your career. So, it's one of one.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said. I'm excited to talk to you more about the logistics and specifics with that. But I guess before we get into that, I know that you are on like it's the Recording Academy's National Music Education and Professional Development Committee. So can you talk a little bit about how that got started and sort of where it led you next?
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much came from me being really close to the Recording Academy. And I mean, I started as the Grammy representative, which is tailored to people who want to get a foot in the music industry, mostly students 18 to 24 age range. Now they've actually really expanded it in the last year, which is incredible. And so the base of what I've known is programming content for students and for people who are just getting their start. And so when Jesse, the director, asked me to join the committee, it was like kind of a no-brainer because I'm definitely younger. I know what the programming looks like. I know from just coming off of this not that many years ago, what I was looking for when I'm a student wanting to break into the industry. And it's such an important component for markets that don't have a music business program. Like we're not Belmont, like we're not Berkeley. And so it's important to have these conversations and to make sure that we are supporting the different music communities that don't necessarily have that framework. Right. Because there's talent everywhere and a lot of students don't know where to start. just because they're not set up for success in some ways, because they're kind of just like, okay, it's a shot in the dark, but it really doesn't have to be. So yeah, that's basically where that involvement derived from.
Super interesting. Yeah. What does it mean, or like, what has the impact on you been like to be able to have a voice and sort of being the shape, like helping to shape the future of the music industry from starting at such a young age to where you are now with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's bigger than me, I think, is what I've kind of realized. And like, anytime a professor asks me, hey, can you come to the class and talk? Or hey, can you? I'm like, yes, absolutely. Like, these guest speakers that would come into my class did so much for me. And maybe I don't, some of them were like a one-off thing. I never saw them again, but like, I took something from it. And I just think it's so important to be able to give back, because, you know, these students are hungry and they're really ambitious, and being able to give back to them is something that heals me in terms of the struggle that I went through, especially at the beginning, not coming from a small town with no resources, and, you know, even having family be like, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean music? Like, what? You know, that's a battle that a lot of people don't talk about. It's just like trying to prove yourself, even though you shouldn't have to prove yourself to anybody.
Right.
But especially when you're coming from, like, I'm Hispanic, like, I come from a Hispanic family, like, they thought I was crazy. It's just like, I want to be able to support these students and show them like that it's realistic, it's possible, and patience is virtue in this case. But yeah, I just always tell people, like, mentor, even as one student, like, just help these students. Like, it's vital, honestly, and they're your future colleagues. So
Right. That's really great. I think there's so much value in helping other people in that sense. And like, yeah, exactly. They will very likely be your colleagues, and you never know where how things will play out or end up. Oh, so yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Where does sort of the bridge between the Recording Academy and the programming with that turn into your experience with South By?
Yeah. So funny enough, when I started the Recording Academy, we were remote because of the pandemic and just coming off of it. But the year that live events came back, it was like, oh my gosh, full throttle. Like, 2022 was like, we are in it. So I just remember doing the Grammys, and then it was South by Southwest and the Grammys in Vegas, like maybe a few weeks in between each other. And my first ever on-site experience at South by Southwest was that year, because we put on, you know, events during the South by as the academy. And so that was my first taste into what South by is. And the massive scale that it operates on. And I was just in awe, truly, like, being able to go to the sessions and the showcases and doing our own events and seeing like the massive amounts of people that were there and off with the same goal. And that definitely just was like, okay, like, if when I graduate and I know I want to stay in Austin, like, this definitely is a company that I see myself working for. And so after I graduated college, I took like a 6-month break off of working, just because I was truly exhausted.
Yeah. From what you've told me, that makes sense.
I did the most, maybe more than I needed to, but I was really tired. I was working full time. I was also working at Warner Music as an intern. So like, it was just a lot. It was just a lot for me. And I was like, let me just take a break. And, you know, one of the pieces of advice that my mentor told me, she was like, once you start working, you're never going to stop. So even though it's like sounds so surface level, I was like, what does she really mean by that? And now I'm like, okay, I get it. And so I took a month off. And then finally I started applying to jobs maybe like 3 months into that break. And I was so unsteady with it. I was very picky because I had a standard in which I was already operating on. Sure. And I knew I had to do that times 10. And so an opportunity came for me to come work at South By, but as a seasonal. And so I was like, this is my way in, like, screw it. It's not full time year round, but let's see what happens. And so, yeah, I started working there as contract seasonal worker, and worked the 2023 event. 2 months later, came back full time year round, and I've been here ever since.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So then when I went in 2024, you were definitely behind the scenes of my many favorite music programs I attended. That's really cool. You were somewhere for sure. Yeah. To your point earlier, from not only just like the conference itself, but the city, how much it becomes such a community and extension of the festival. Like, I think what really blew me away was not only just like walking around the, you know, the convention center and opening a door and there's like a band. I remember, I'll be specific, like Shannon and the Clams is one of my all-time favorite bands. And I remember just like opening the door to one of the like first floor ballrooms and there they are just like playing a show. And then I got to catch them like two more times throughout the days that I was there because it's never ending.
Yeah, so. South by doesn't feel like a real place sometimes. Oh my goodness, only a South by Southwest. Like you never know. That's what I'm saying. Like you hop into a restaurant, something crazy is happening or some pop-up show is happening. It's not even like scheduled that some artist just decided to do on the fly. Like it is so beautifully chaotic that it's just thrilling. Like I don't really know how else to explain it.
I completely agree. Yeah, it really is like my Roman Empire. I think about it. Yeah. With so many showcases and sessions happening at once, like how do you personally decide what feels like a must-have when it comes to like planning programming?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of standards that come to us deciding what programming looks like. We have different rubrics and things like that. But I think at the end of the day, we're looking for forward-thinking content. We want things, for the most part, that have never been done before, have never really been spoken about before. We want to highlight artists who are having a breakout moment, or they're legacy artists, or they're here for some sort of like cool thing that they're doing and showcasing. I mean, South by Southwest has broken artists like Billie Eilish, Dua Lipa, Russ, the 1975, did I say them already? I don't know. Amy Winehouse, people like that. Yeah. Like every time I've gone to the 1975 show, Dua Lipa last year on stage at ACO, was like, my first time here was at South by Southwest. And like, they truly like credit their career to South by. Clips did a podcast with the New York Times a few months ago and talked about how South by was a moment that they broke into a whole nother market of people. So, it's highly significant for them. And we want those kinds of moments. Like we said, it's chaotic and in a good way. Like we want to shock people in a great way. We want to showcase what the future of each industry that we cover is. And so when it comes to selecting content, like those are things that are really important to us. And we have a lot going on at once. So it's like understanding that if I program this session, are people going to want to go to it against all other programming that is happening? And if it's like, yeah, this is unique enough for this, tells an important story. And like someone didn't half ask this talk just because they want to get the attention. Like we can tell, you know, we can tell when someone's just throwing something into ChatGPT and just like didn't think twice about it. We can tell when someone just wants a badge. Like it's really, really palpable in these things that our minds are already trained to detect these kinds of things. So we operate at a very high standard, and I think people really respect our content for that reason, because there's multiple quality checks that it goes through.
That makes a lot of sense. Like it comes off like so, like, oh, of course this like is such a hot topic and no brainer, but the logistics and the like reasoning and the guests that you book are so valuable to people's time, especially there, because time is so valuable when you have so much to choose from. And another thing that I found really impressive was just like the pairings of speakers and like for different programming. Yeah. I know that you have coming up this year, you mentioned Russ and then Andrea Gleason. I worked at TuneCore for a few years, so awesome. I'm very, very familiar with the amazing relationship you guys have with TuneCore. But like, yeah, I guess like as an example with that one, can you talk about a little of how that came to be?
It was funny because one day my boss was like, hey, have you seen what Russ is doing like with TuneCore? I'm like, yeah. And then sure enough, I see a proposal from TuneCore, and it kind of was literally on the same day. And I was like, this is perfect, because funny enough, 2016 was when Russ made his showcasing debut at South by Southwest. My boss tells a story about how he was texting Russ to book his show. Like it was that, you know, independent kind of hustle. And now for him to be coming back to South by Southwest, this time 10 years later, to talk about how he's become one of the most successful independent artists of this generation and has been able to do that through the help of TuneCore, like that is so instrumental and such an example of what we want to send to our showcasing artists who are coming here for the first time. Or, you know, it's just like he's such a great example of like what the point of South by Southwest is, you know?
Yeah.
Just like any festival or anything, you know, people are like, why didn't you book, you know, Taylor Swift, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not what South by Southwest is about. It's like, yeah, it's great when we get high caliber artists, but we are an expo for up and coming artists and for people to discover them. And like I said, having Russ on the stage again, it's just like full circle. It's like, this is exactly like textbook what we are about and what we exemplify and our goal with, you know, having a music festival in general.
I love that. And it's fun to think about too, like how many people will be sitting in the audience who could be like the next Russ, because that is so, it's not something that's too unattainable. It's really inspiring. And I think also South by does a really good job of making you not feel alienated from what you're learning about. Mm-hmm. Again, there's that community side of it. In terms of like programming and how it's evolved with how tech and AI and different, you know, hot topics have shifted, like how has the conferencing and programming changed alongside with how music and business and music and all that is evolving?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that we pay very close attention to. We have our own tech and AI track that's come out in recent years. And so it's something that obviously is in our everyday lives, something that we can't ignore. It's something that's important, whether it's the good side or the bad side that we're talking about, because we want to talk about both. I think our best sessions are when we have two people on stage with very different opinions on something. We're able to debate content. Like, I thrive. Like, I love that. And the whole team can tell you the same thing. But yeah, I mean, it's so integrated into every single part of what we do, whether it's South by, personal lives, whatever. So I think it's important content to have. But I think on the same page of that, it's like we pay attention to what is being pitched and, you know, the broader scope of what it looks like in terms of how this might affect our audience, or, you know, is what are the ethics of this, different things like that, that we do really pay attention to. But we try not to oversaturate it, because I think a lot of people, and this could go for AI or anything else, like any other topic, like we don't want to oversaturate something, especially if it's something that can be a little bit more scary. I think all of us are like, what really does the future of AI look like? We don't know. So we try and really, really be nitpicky when it comes to proposals that come in through or that have AI in the topic or description. And we can tell you AI was our most popular topic that came in through our panel picker entry process. So it's there, it's here. Wow. And we're trying to embrace it carefully and intentionally. So yeah, I mean, it's something that we have to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. AI, whatever industry it is, it's there. And yes, I think that the intention side of that is really important to mention. From a proposal perspective, like, what does that look like? How does someone approach you guys with a proposal?
So every year around like mid-June, we open up our panel picker entry process, which is basically where anybody can submit an idea. Anybody, though, they're basically referred to as like an organizer. So let's say I'm the organizer and I'm working at South by Southwest, you know, just make this up. And I'm like, I want to talk about live event space and the future of live event space. And I have three colleagues that I know are really good and diverse and can talk about this. And they'll submit the idea. And some people write two sentences. Some people fully like fill out the entire thing the way we asked them to, which of course, like, that's like beautiful to me. So there's different levels to it that people submit, but and then after that we basically run it through various channels of evaluation. And so each person on the team grades it a few times, and we do it in rounds. We have a whole evaluators kind of network that review proposals that are working actually live in that specific industry that the proposal has been submitted to. And then we have community voting, so anybody is able to vote for their favorite sessions. After that, we basically have something called a retreat, which actually is something I'm doing tomorrow, where we debate content and basically pick the top programming based on, you know, what's currently happening in the world, what is something we've never seen before, what is something that's important to our independent artists, because we want to make sure that they're getting the content that they need while they have a music badge. All of our showcasing artists have a music badge at the conference if they choose to go that route. And so it's highly beneficial to them. It's like, for me, I want these artists not just to go to their showcase and dip, like I want them coming to our panels, to our music mentor sessions, our artist demo listening sessions, and really get the value and educational opportunities that South By can provide for them that can just completely change the trajectory of their career beyond their showcase. It's important for them to have this knowledge as well. So there's a lot of different things that come in through our proposals, but yeah, we basically pick the top content and then we announce it later this fall. So we're really excited about that. And that's where the bulk of my content comes from.
That makes sense. I feel like there should, I wish there could be a program of watching you got like the process of you guys deciding the programming.
It's yeah, so I know it's a very long meeting, and you know, we evaluate everything and everybody's opinions, and you know, we like diversity of thought, and that's really, really important to us. So
roughly like how many submissions versus programming you actually go through with?
I mean, in totality across all tracks, like 4,000 or 5,000 proposals that we average every year. I think, I don't know what the acceptance rate is. I think it's like 3 or 4%, something really low like that.
Yeah.
And depending on the track, I mean, we have a certain amount of sessions that we can accept. So it really truly is like the best of the best. And, you know, it's hard to turn down people, but it's not, sometimes it's not because the proposal wasn't good. It's just that there's a lot of, sometimes people submit 10,000 proposals about the same topic, and it's like,
right,
well, how do we narrow this down, you know? And people don't realize that there's 100 other people submitting the exact same thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That takes so much thoroughness and like, just, yeah, I can see how it's both collaborative, but also like your own mm-hmm. sole independent, like opinion of it is really important to contribute in that.
Yeah.
What would you say is like the toughest part about programming for such a big festival?
No, I mean, I think making it, well, what I'll say is like, I live in the year, in the next year, right? So like what I'm deciding today might be very different in 2020, in March of 2026. Like, let's say someone submits a topic on brand and marketing or some brand and marketing and use of AI, right? And whatever they're talking about is relevant to October 2025. But a lot of things can change real fast. And so the hardest part is like, okay, reading a proposal, like, okay, is this going to still be relevant, or will tweaks have to be made, you know? And it's like, are those tweaks worth it? If it's like, you know what, yes, like this is an evergreen topic, like we need to program this, and that's great. So I think that's the hard part, to be honest, because, you know, I'm living in the future, but I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. it's a big, you know, debate in terms of that realm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like just this industry in general, you're always like two steps ahead of whatever is actually going on, which is like a challenge. Yeah. In itself, to your point.
Yeah.
From another perspective, like what do you see or what excites you the most about the direction that you feel like music programming is heading towards?
Yeah. I mean, I'm so excited about everything. You know, obviously we just announced this year that all programming is running concurrently against tech and film and TV, comedy, everything's running at the same time. And I'm actually really excited about that because, I mean, you know, you've been traditionally, Music Week has been at the end of South by Southwest. Yeah. And some people are like, I totally missed my friend that is in this world different from me. And I couldn't, you know, run into whatever, meet with them, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. But there's also the people that miss being able to see music that are coming to just, you know, learn about tech, but they're a music fan, or they're like, have some integration with music because they're like a, you know, a convergence platform or something. Like,
yeah,
I'm so excited that for the first time, everybody's going to be able to see music together. And it's not just the music audience, just solo and in a showcase or whatever the case is, but it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I think, you know, under this new leadership that we're under, everybody's just has so many great ideas and are so passionate, so excited. And, you know, we've never had a music announcement this early, and this is the first time we've done it, and it's us and All American Rejects. Like, that just set the tone for the rest of the year. And so there's so many other parts of our programming that have grown, like our artist demo listening sessions. We brought them back 2 years ago, and I've been leading that charge ever since, and it's become one of our most popular, most demanded programming. So we're bringing that back in a big way and really, really, really focusing on our artists. And like I mentioned earlier, giving them these educational and advancing opportunities for their career. That's really important to us. And it's going to be amazing. I'm really excited.
That's really exciting. I actually did not know that. And yeah, to your point, I remember my friend and I met for lunch, like her last day, because she was there for, I think, tech. And then I was coming in for music and we were like passing ships, but she was so bummed that she couldn't stay for like a couple music things. So I think that it's such a, it sounds like it's going to be challenging, but like such a great idea to like bridge more of the gaps between all the different events and really get more of a, that community.
Yeah, that community, and just give artists 10 times more visibility.
Yes.
To grow their markets. So it's going to be great. We're excited. People that we work with are excited about it. Our artists are excited about it. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of the artist sessions, can you kind of speak to what that looks like?
Yeah, the demo listening sessions.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So way back in the day, before I even was thinking about South By, but they used to do artist listening sessions, and it basically was like an A&R and an artist, and you would kind of give them headphones and they would listen to your demo. Mm. And when I came on the team full time year round, they were like, hey, we used to do this thing. Like, are you, you want to do it? Like, if you want to do it, like, we have a framework for it. And I was like, okay, I see what you guys did, but I'm doing it different. Like, I think this is important. And it kind of went hand in hand with, that was the first year that artists were able to get a music badge at the conference rather than like an artist wristband. So this means they finally get to go into conference content. And so I was like, well, how do I make this more exciting? Because I mean, I'm sure you know, like, creatives don't want to be put in a room and just like not talk to one another, just like have, you know, just look at someone, listen to me. Like, it's just not, that's not the vibe.
Right, right.
So like, I need to find a way to switch this up. And so I was like, well, why don't I program a few A&Rs on the stage, have anybody with the badge be able to come to the session. And basically what I do is the artists are coming on a first come, first serve basis. And they, I had play a little bit of their demo, and then the A&Rs were able to give live feedback. Wow. The first year I did it, it blew me away in terms of A, the demand, B, the sense of community that it brought forward, and C, it just made me realize, like, okay, artists are doing these showcases. A lot of them are looking for, you know, their break, whether it's like an A&R noticing them, a publicist, whatever the case is. But like, you're kind of hoping that these people are in the room, but this time, like, they're guaranteed, like, they're right there. Only are they listening to the music. My industry colleagues or friends or whatever, they're also in the audience, like, and they're also able to, like, live react. Wow. And I'm just like, whoa. And we brought it back last year, it got even bigger. And so this year we're like, okay, we need to make this way, like, we need to expand this. Obviously, the demand is, like, crazy. There's lines out the door, like, over an hour before. Like, the A&Rs are obsessed with it. They're like, bring me back next year.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The way I can explain the environment, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like the Rhythm and Flow show on Netflix, but it's, like, that hype that you have, like, just being happy for an artist and listening to their songs. Like, they're really strong, like, demos that are being played. It's not someone just there for shits and giggles. Like, they're serious and they mean, like, what they're, you know, showcasing. And people in the audience are like, yo, man, where's your show? Where's your show? Like, give me your number. And I'm like, oh, like, this is big. Like, this can really turn into something. Like, these people are wanting to support each other. Like, screw the demo at this point. Like, it's about them meeting each other. And it's such a rare opportunity for them to be all in the same room. You know, there was people from Australia. There was people from the UK, different states. And, like, when else are you all going to be in a room together, you know? And that is one of the best things I think I've done in my career so far, is bringing that back and switching the format. And I refuse to change it to any other format, because there's something here. And it's my favorite thing, honestly.
I am so impressed by that. That's so cool. And then to your point, I think especially like post-COVID world, things are just so virtual, so less personal, and to give people that opportunity to share a passion like that and support each other is so rare, and should be more of, like, that's really what, you know, a lot of the industry is about, and the feedback and that organic, like, yeah, like, where's your showcase tonight? Like, what are you doing? Like, it's, you're really just setting the stage for sort of that unspoken, like, magic to happen. So that's, like, an amazing experience.
And that's the goal. It's like, I want these artists to meet each other. I want South by Southwest to become the place that they met this one other artist and they made a song together and now it's a hit or whatever. Like, I want these stories to come out of South by, because it's, like I said, it's such a rare opportunity for these people to be together. And why not find a way to take advantage of that rather than you guys going to your showcase and that's it? Like, there's way more to South by Southwest, and they, you know, this kind of programming is, you know, their tunnel to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really cool. How, yeah, from like a music fan perspective, has working behind the scenes sort of changed or impacted your experience? I know you said, like, even from the beginning, you were more curious about what was going on behind the stage, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it can become very surreal sometimes. I think sometimes I try and separate myself a little bit from those moments in terms of like, oh, being a fan first. Like, I, and at the same time though, like, what I do doesn't really feel like work. And so a lot of people are always like, how do you, like, this is a different topic, but like, how do you, you know, balance work and life? I'm just like, sometimes it just like blends together and I don't even think about it.
I definitely get that sense from you. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I mean, I try and program what I want to see, but at the same time, like, it's not about me. It's about everybody else. So like, I have to really stay in tune with what's going on in music and, sure, you know, the hot new artists or the hot new, you know, music business people that are doing crazy cool stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I try and keep that, you know, fan mindset in what I do, because I also, at the flip side, I have to think like a fan when I'm programming something. It's like, sure, a lot, I don't know, it's hard, yeah, to expand. You're following what I'm saying, but like,
no, yeah.
Yeah, I try to maintain everything I do, but at the same time, like, there's a split brain, right? Where it's like, okay, let's be for real. And let's like also understand, like, okay, I know what people want to see. And I know what I want to see. And like, we're, yeah, on the same page, or maybe what I like is a lot what people care to see. Like, I don't know. But
yeah, that must be challenging to sort of balance both. But it kind of goes back to why I think the programming is so good at not alienating people who attend, because you're looking at it from both perspectives, and that's, yeah, what makes it like really successful.
Yeah. And like, I have such a great team, like, to where they're like, oh, have you heard of this person? I'm like, no. And they're like, you need to. And so it's like, oh, whoa, like, thank you, like, this just, you know, did something for me. So we're on each other's toes with that stuff, and we have to be, because we care and we know what people want.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're very, very intentional with what we do.
It comes across intentional, but also effortless. And I mean that as a compliment for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that you also have kind of sort of described, I think I read that you have a passion for the art of memories. How would you define that phrase personally?
I mean, for me, like I mentioned earlier, going to ACL and going with my best friends, and this past weekend being at ACL, like, I was kind of there on business, but I brought my best friend with me. And like, oh, I was like, wow, like, this is such a core memory. Like, I don't know if you saw like online T-Pain set, but oh my gosh, it blew my mind. Like, it was one of the best so things cool I've ever seen in my 10 years at ACL. But like,
wow,
whoa, this is something I'm going to remember forever. And like, those things stay with you. And you know, this person, my best friend, has been my best friend since we were in fifth grade. So we've gone to so many, aww, concerts together. And when I say creating the art of memories, it's like, that is an art form, like, just having that in you. And that can spring a lot of different things, whether it's like your future career, you know, stories that you tell to your kids, just something that changes your life in some capacity, whether it's emotionally or whatever the case is, like, that's an art form. Like, there's something very beautiful about creating lasting impact that is bigger than yourself. And I think when I program content, I'm giving somebody an opportunity to have a platform that they normally wouldn't have, right, on a global scale. South by Southwest is a global event. And, you know, they're able to share their ideas with people who might not have ever paid attention otherwise. And that is such like a sacred thing to me. And it creates a memory, and that's significant in whatever way it impacts somebody.
Yeah, there is such a sentiment in that. And I think it's funny, like, that's why I named my podcast, You Had to Be There, for those exact, yeah, moments, right? Because they do stay with you. They're so pivotal in both. I think music is just has such a grasp when for people like us on such a personal level, but and a professional level, and to be able to sort of capture those moments, it is so well said. Like, it is an art in a way.
It's like taking a picture, but in your mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing.
Absolutely. Well, awesome. I feel like I could pick your brain for more like 10 more hours, but it was so great speaking with you. I wanted to ask you one last question of, if you had to give your music career so far an album title name, what would you call it?
I was thinking about this. Isn't there a band named Talking Heads?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to steal their name for a second because of the amount of talking that I have to do and everything I do and the amount of people I have met. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like it's awesome, but I think like in this industry, it encompasses just like, I mean, everybody talks about networking, but it's like legit. Like I talk to so many people on a daily basis on site. I can't even keep up with the amount of people I meet, but it's such an amazing thing to me. And like my friends, like I can't go anywhere without like somebody like stopping you. Like if I'm at like an event or something, I'm like,
sure,
yeah. That's what it takes. Like that's literally what it takes. And like I work with these people, like you know how big the event is in scale. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm talking to everybody and I love it. Like it's the best, it's the coolest thing ever. Like how lucky am I to be able to meet all different walks of life and in every sector of every industry. Basically, this goes beyond music because of the nature of the event that I work in. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really amazing how music has like, it's so big yet so small. I think you said that kind of in the beginning. It's just like, But it's also what you make of it and the opportunities, yeah. Right? It's like kind of waiting for you. So I love that.
1000%.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was super informative. If people want to learn more about you, like, can they find you somewhere?
Yeah, for sure. My LinkedIn is up and running. If you want to find me there on Instagram, it's just my first and last name. Happy to connect. And I love helping people, so I'll try my best.
Amazing. Well, thank you again. This was great.
Yeah, thank you. Said you were mad. I'm cheesing now. Good God. Said I gave him probable cause, but can I speak to my lawyer, please? Thank you, Lord, and all my property. Like what you see, you can try it for free, babe. You can try me. Hey, I'm not what the team is. There's no I and we, bitch. It's just me, huh? And when you break it down, make them break it down slow.